Hello. Today is Good Friday, the day when Christians all over the world reflect on the death of Jesus Christ. But perhaps in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, you're thinking to yourself, I'm not sure I can really do Good Friday this year. Things are somber enough without the thoughts of all that Good Friday means as well. If that's your response, I can understand that. Without question, these are very confronting and difficult times for all of us. And yet I'd like to remind all of us what today is called. It's called Good Friday. And it's called Good Friday for a reason. Yes, it's very true that today is a somber and sad day. Jesus, although completely innocent, was nailed to a cross and died. You can't get more somber than that. And yet it's also true to say that Good Friday is a great day, a historic day, the day which marked the dawn of a new era, the day which opened the door for people to come back to God. It was a day of rescue. Now, most people would look at the cross and not see any rescue there at all. It looked like a terrible tragedy, a failure. Jesus died on the cross after all, and the hopes of his followers were dashed. But the remarkable truth is that it wasn't a failure. In fact, it was the complete opposite. It was a victory and an extraordinary fulfillment of a long-awaited plan. And why do I say that? Because of the man who is on the cross, Jesus of Nazareth. Now, Jesus was more than just a carpenter and preacher from a remote part of Palestine. Christians believe that he was and is the Son of God. At the time of his earthly ministry, people were given some very powerful hints and signs as to his true identity. There were his miracles. Among them, he healed the blind and the lame and the dumb. He raised three people back to life from death. And on one occasion, he stilled a violent storm on a lake with just a simple word of command and the raising of a hand. Then there was his teaching. Jesus taught in a way that was new, fresh, exciting, and delivered with real authority. In the Gospels, we read how people came from all over Judea to hear this man and went away saying, "We've never heard anything like that." And they were right, they hadn't. Then there were his claims. Jesus made the remarkable claims about himself, which are extraordinary for us to have to take in. He once said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Another time he said, "I am the light of the world." And on still another occasion he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die." On the lips of any ordinary person, such claims would be dismissed in an instant. But that was the extraordinary thing about Jesus. Rather than being seen as a very misguided, egocentric con man, he was seen as a very different person altogether. Which brings me to his character. In Luke's Gospel, it's recorded how at Jesus' trial on Good Friday, the Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, says to Jesus' accusers, "I have examined him, Jesus, in your presence, and have found no basis for your charges against him." For the small but powerful band of men who were the enemies of Jesus, that was always the problem. Jesus' character. Because Jesus was goodness, love, truth, and mercy personified. Try as they might to catch him out with trick questions and all manner of skullduggery, they dismally failed each time. When they tried to stop Jesus from healing a very sick man on the holy day, the Sabbath, Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And then and there, Jesus healed the man. His critics were shamed into silence. But we read in Mark's gospel that after that very healing, they went out and began to plot how they might kill Jesus. And fast forward several months to Good Friday, and sure enough, it was the very day of Jesus' execution. The day his enemies had long wished for and plotted for had arrived. But it makes no sense to us, does it? Why plot against and kill such an innocent, good, and remarkable man? At the trial, Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, knowing the kind of man that Jesus was, asked the critics outright, what crime has this man committed? Well, Pilate's searching question fell on deaf ears, because the large crowd that had gathered together for the public trial had been heavily influenced by the severe critics of Jesus. And they shouted out, crucify him. Crucify Jesus. You know, this was the very same crowd who'd welcomed Jesus with cheers into their city. It's the city of Jerusalem. And now, just a few days later, those cheers of joy had turned into jeers of hatred. Why had it come to this? Well, it's because, as I mentioned earlier, the cross was not a tragic failure, but a fulfillment. The fulfillment of Jesus' whole mission to earth. It was a rescue mission. A rescue by means of the cross. At Jesus' birth, an angel of the Lord appeared to some shepherds on a hillside, took them by surprise, and the angel said to them, today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Jesus had left the glory of heaven to be the Saviour, the rescuer that humankind so desperately needed. Some 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah had written about this mission and the death of Jesus. He wrote, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. You see, the rescue mission had been planned for a very, very long time. And Isaiah was saying, and the Christian gospel is saying, that on that cross, on Good Friday, something really important happened. Jesus died for us in our place as our substitute. He died for you and for me. And specifically, he died for our sins, for those things that we say and do and think that we know are wrong. We know it, and God knows it. So how can that problem be fixed when we're answerable to an all-holy God? Well, the answer is by the Lord Jesus Christ coming to earth and dying for us. We know we're imperfect, but Jesus was perfect. He was totally without sin. That's why the fact that he was on the cross is so important. You see, only the sinless one, the Son of God, could take away the sins of the world and wipe the slate absolutely clean. And that's what happened. That's why it's called Good Friday. It's the day that all humankind was offered forgiveness. But as we've seen, it was a very great cost. No wonder the noonday sky turned to total darkness, a vivid symbol of the agony and suffering that Jesus endured as he hung from the cross and willingly bore the sin of the world, our sin. The prophet Isaiah writes at the cross, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the sin of us all." We were rebels, going our own way without God and without hope in this world. We were lost. And that's why Jesus came on his rescue mission. He came to rescue us. He's full of such love, such sacrifice, such forgiveness. Even from the cross, Jesus says to the crowd, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." His words and example clearly caught the attention of one of the two criminals who'd been hung either side of him on crosses. As the hours had gone by and Jesus had made no response to the abuse and taunts that were hurled at him by the baying crowd, the truth of who Jesus really was had slowly dawned on this man, this criminal, because he turns to Jesus and says, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replies, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Now that reply probably took the criminal totally by surprise. But it demonstrated to him, as it does to us 2,000 years later, that Jesus' death would not be the end of the story. Far from it. You see, the criminal was right. Jesus did have a kingdom. He was a king. And 3 days later, the tomb that Jesus' body was laid in would be empty. The reason? The King of Kings was risen back to life, never to die again. It was the ultimate sign, you see, that the cross had achieved its purpose. Plan fulfilled. Mission accomplished. And so forgiveness, a complete pardon, was now offered by God to all people willing to accept it, from that day right up to our own day. In the midst of this coronavirus, all of us, wherever we live, are being forced to reflect on what really matters to us in our lives. And so we think about our families, our friends, our health, helping others and saving lives. But may this Good Friday also be for you a central part of that personal reflection, as together we remember and we give thanks for the Saviour King, the Rescuer. He paid the ultimate price to set us free and has opened up the way back home to God. I hope you agree that Good Friday is the perfect name for it. I have a favourite Good Friday hymn called "My Song is Love Unknown." It was originally a poem written by the poet Samuel Crossman, an Englishman. And it ends with these words: "Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend." This Good Friday, I hope that the truths and sentiments that that poem expresses are ones that you want to share in as well. I wish you a very happy Easter.